Accession number 29049, Mr. Frank Tolley, Reel 6. Now, we're talking about your time with the Heavy Bomber Conversion Unit, 1667, at Sandtoft. You weren't there long, just in November into December. And you're doing sort of various cross-country and bombing practices, that sort of thing. Anything else about your time with them? Because it's then on to the Lancashire Finishing School. I presume that's the second part. Mm. And that takes you just into January, actually. Mm. But anything else, any problems you had with the crew in that final phase?
Oh, no. No, we seem to do quite well.
Did you add another member of crew? Because surely yes, you added a flight engineer.
Yes.
Do you remember who that was?
Yes. That was Joe Platt.
So he was a sergeant?
He was a sergeant at that time, yes.
And what was the flight engineer's role? Was he the second pilot as well, or what was he?
He took over the fuel control, if you like, yes. And actually, he was excellent. He was very good indeed. Skipper thought a lot of what he could do, and he actually got him when we were doing surges and bumps at conversion. He let Joe land on one occasion, and he made quite a good landing, and that's relieved me. That's great, having a pilot that takes the responsibility off me.
So he became the second pilot, pilot.
He was second pilot. He got his he became a flight sergeant before Bill Porter and myself.
Now, anything else about that? That is that it at Sandtoft then? Because the next thing is you go to 625 Squadron at Kelstern. Now, yes, I don't know where Kelstern is.
Well, I should say that Sandtoft was near to Grimsby. Kelstern was.
So in Lincolnshire?
Was
Sandtoft in Lincolnshire or Yorkshire? We'll look it up.
Yes. Then Kelstern, we went to Kelstern. This was a satellite of Binbrook.
And where is it?
Yes. That was in Lincolnshire, I guess.
In where, sorry?
What, was it Lincolnshire?
If you don't know, we'll look it up. It doesn't matter. It's not a test.
No.
So you went there in January. Well, mid-January seemed to have gone.
No, we went there on the, I think the second of January. We met up there after Christmas leave, and we were briefed about a dozen times during January.
Now, hang on. What was your reception like when you arrived as a new crew? Did anyone speak to you or meet you or tell you what was going on, or how did the squadron behave when you arrived?
New crew. You sort of met your contemporaries, and because you met in sections, say, pilot section, bombing section, NAV section, whatnot, and you would you'd be sitting around waiting or talking about this and talking about that.
So they made you welcome?
Oh, yes.
Who your squadron... did you speak to your squadron leader or were your commander?
I cannot remember the names at all. I can't remember the names.
Now, where were you living? What was your accommodation like at Kelstern?
we were in Nissen huts. We were some distance away from the from the mess, and
what were the huts like? What was it like?
We were then winded down a bit. It could be cold, but we we had plenty of fuel and a whacking big stove to.
Was it like a barrack room, or did you have your own little room within it?
No, a barrack room for all hours, yes.
About how many in there?
I suppose. Probably a score. Yes.
And your whole crew would be in there?
No. The pilot at this time, he'd been pushed up to pilot officer or something.
Looks like warrant officer, but
he was warrant officer,
and then he becomes pilot officer almost immediately. Yes, yeah.
Yes. When he got on the squadron, yes.
Now, did you do some practice flights first? I mean, or do you not remember that?
I think we did. I can't remember, because I know we were briefed about a dozen times for an op between then and 1st of February, and they were always cancelled. The weather was atrocious. It was so bad. As a matter of fact, so much snow, they had the whole squadron out with shovels trying to shovel off the runways.
It was snow that was causing it, was it?
Yes. And we had food. Had to have food dropped into us. We ran out of bread, and they had to come and drop the bread and other food stuffs to us.
And so your first operation was the 1st of February.
Yes.
Now, do you remember that operation well? I mean,
yes.
Well, can we look at that as your typical? Yes, I know it's a bit daft using that as a typical. Yes. But how would you first know you were going on an operation? I mean, was it before? In fact, how do you know before you get the briefing? I mean, is it put on a board somewhere? Or
No. They say briefing at a certain time. You go for briefing, and
Who would say? Was it a notice, or was it just
tannoy. It would be on the tannoy. Because, you could be here, there, and everywhere.
And what would happen when you went to your briefing? This is on the 1st of February.
Yes.
1945.
Yes. You had pilots, navigators, and bomb aimers went in for briefing. I don't think the gunners and the radio operator went. So it was bombers, gunners, and flight engineer. It was the pilot, flight engineer, navigator, and bomb aimer that went.
Not the wireless operator.
No, I can't remember what.
What was the briefing like? Would you be in it?
Yes.
Where would it be held? Picture it for us.
In the briefing room. Yeah.
So you had a separate room for it.
Yeah. Oh yes.
And what would be in there when you got there?
Those seats, and there is a stage up there, so you're going to see a show. And so I think the squadron commander comes on first and said, here it is, fellas, we're going to X today.
This is Mannheim.
Yeah, Mannheim. Yeah.
Mannheim docks. That's on the Rhine, isn't it?
Yes. And it said, we, a Sprague crew, would go, the pilot, myself, and the rear gunner, us three would go with another crew, an experienced crew, where the bomb aimer and rear gunner would be left behind. What I remember about that raid was...
So what else would happen? Hang on, else would happen at the briefing?
The briefing. Well, they'd say what the weather was like. When the Met Officer came on, everybody used to cheer, because poor fella, he really didn't know. He was having feedback from buds that had been that way maybe a couple of days, a night earlier, and it was all hit and miss, as it is now, because nature, to a certain extent, you know, controls the weather. We get some false forecasts now, as you know, although it's a hell of a lot better, much, much better.
So you got your weather forecast. What else would you get forecast?
Time of takeoff, and fueled up for an 8-hour trip or something like that. You see, it's all very.
Would you be told what bombs to put on? I mean, would that be part of your job to take a note of what you were meant to be doing?
Yes, they would say what sort of radio it was, whether it was heavy bombing or whether it was a fire raid or whatever, whether we're taking incendiaries or a mixed load. Anyhow.
Anything else there? At the briefing?
At the briefing. No, I can't.
Now, what would you do after the briefing then? You'd be briefed, what then?
You'd probably have 3 hours or more. You'd go and have a meal. You know, you used to joke about that. We were well fed, a pre-flight crew or a pre-flight breakfast. Or a post-flight.
So what would you get pre-flight?
The same as when we came back. Bacon, egg, sausage, chips. We had a lot of milk. The air crew, I don't know why, gave us a lot of milk to drink.
So you had a good meal?
Oh, yes, very good. And there was joke about it, about the condemned bod that was going to be hung. You know, he could have anything. The last one, sort of thing.
Now, what was your morale like? I mean, how did you feel? You know, I mean, yourself. Were you nervous before the first one, or scared, or what?
The first one hadn't a clue. You see, wondering, what will this be like? I hope I do what I've got to do. Don't make a balls up of it, sort of thing. Make a hack of it, and you went over there.
So you weren't that nervous the first time?
No, not taking off. It was just a matter of I hope this one is not the last one.
Did you get more nervous later on, or less nervous?
Yes. You every time you went out. Are we coming back from this? This is quite a distance. This might be a bit dodgy.
So did it get worse or better? Sounds like it got worse.
Yes. When you've done a dozen, so you're thinking. You've done well. You've done well this far, because some of the crews that have been there longer than us didn't do as many as we did. We finished up.
You're running on there. You were a bit nervous before your first one, but you didn't what was going to happen. When would you get your kit on, your flying kit? And what was your flying kit?
A flying kit. Well, a suit, boots.
What suit? What boots? Take it from underwear up, if you see what I mean.
The underwear was silk lined. It was quite long pants, long sleeves. You wore your battle dress on top of that.
Your normal battle, your RAF battle.
Yes. And then you would don your flying overalls.
Is that like a SID cut? What were they like?
Crumbs.
Were they flame retardant or anything, or special, or were they just overalls?
No. I'm overshooting.
on top of your uniform, your battle dress, myself and the rear gunner had heated waistcoats.
Yeah, yeah. We needed them, so far in front and rear. And
then on top of that,
your flying suit, which was a one-piece suit.
And then on your feet?
You had flying boots that came below your knee, about there, yes. They were quite warm, and I think that they were heated.
But you're not sure.
I think they were like the jacket. First, yeah.
And on your hands?
We had silk gloves, and leather gloves to go on. If we needed them, you see, we took them with us. So.
And on your head?
You had your helmet, which included your oxygen mask and your microphone.
Your intercom.
Your intercom, yes.
So you put this on, and then what happened next? Yes. You're getting near the time now.
You're getting near to the time. Well, you have a smoke and go for a wee a lot, it seems.
Did you have any superstitions? I mean, some crews were superstitious, some weren't. Did you or your crew have any?
Not. The skipper had, he was given a bowler hat when he was, before he got onto ops, when he was flying twin-engined whatever they were. And this was painted with the obstruction, yellow squares. It was a black hat with yellow squares. And he always wore that. I've got photographs of that even, I don't know about the others. I didn't.
You didn't have a lucky charm or anything.
No, I can't.
So how would you get out to the plane? They'd be dispersed.
We would be driven out. Might send two with all of the crews in between them to be dropped off at your aircraft point.
And you'd be scattered at dispersed points around the air.
Yes, yes.
Now, what was the routine when you got to your airplane? What did you have to check? And what about the ground crew?
The ground crew were there, and they said, "Watch it now. Take care of it." it was theirs. We were going to fly. It was their aircraft that these frogs were going to fly. I would check the bomb doors, and I'd look under see that everything was. As the briefing said.
So you'd check the bomb load was right.
Yes. Then we'd have all this gear. I like the navigator. I would have my maps, and because I would map read during the day on daylights to give him call pinpoints out to him if need be, you see.
Now, what other checks would be being made? You'd be checking your bombs, checking you've got the right map. What would everybody else be doing?
The gunners are put in the guns themselves, you see, and Jim Slater, he used to put in mine as well, and so I just checked it, and he would say okay, and I would check the bomb sites, see when all the electrics were on, check the what's the name of it now? Is the bomb site?
The bomb site. Okay.
Yeah, I forget.
Don't worry about it. It'll be written down somewhere what it is. I should know. Yeah. So you're doing the foot now. What about the takeoff procedure? What was the procedure?
You were directed from control, from the control tower. Who was taking off first? And sometimes on long raids, they would top up the tanks when you got to the takeoff position. Bearing in mind, you see, that your engines run for quite a while, the skipper runs them for quite a while before takeoff.
Just to make sure you've got enough fuel.
Well, the engines are tuned okay, all that, he's looking at his instruments, or the flight engineer is checking all of this, you see. And sometimes we, on very long trips, we would be topped up at the end, and then we have the signal to take off.
You stood behind the flight engineer?
Yeah, I stood behind the flight engineer.
Why?
Why? Well, because I don't think my weight would have affected the nose too much on takeoff, but that might have been one reason. I think by and large it was safety, being standing up behind him.
What was the takeoff like? We talked about this, but what was it like for you on that Mannheim first raid, 1st of February?
You know, it's a long takeoff. You know, you think you're never going to get off the deck, you see. But we did. I forget how long that raid was now.
About six hours. So when you were up, what would you do then? Yeah. So you got up, you're in the air.
Yes.
And now you wouldn't fly in formation, would you?
Oh, no.
You're flying in a bomber stream.
In a bomber stream, yes.
Now, can you explain what a bomber stream is? Because a lot of people don't know now.
Sort of a gaggle of aircraft, if you like. If you were lucky, you would get into the middle of it. I mean, it has its downfalls as well, but if you're on the outside edges, it's a good pick-off for the fighter pilots. And so our skipper invariably he maneuvered himself or get us into the stream.
But your navigator was navigating, you weren't following the stream, you were navigating.
He was navigating. Yes. I've been in the nose keeping a lookout in the nose there for anything unusual, for fighters or flak.
So you'd be just sat there in the nose?
I wouldn't be sat there at all. No, I'd be lying in my tummy all the time, looking down.
Sorry, I'm being silly. Because you had to lie down in that nose position. So what would happen on the trip? One thing I should have asked, did you ever take the amphetamine tablets they used to give? Can you tell me about them? Were you offered them? Did you take them?
Oh, yes. We had them. But more often than not, we didn't take them because we were preached to the fact that you take them, and if you're called back or you don't get off at all, and you've taken them, you you probably won't sleep, and So I would say I would say five times out of six you wouldn't take them.
When you did take them, did they have an effect?
No.
As far as you were concerned.
That's true enough.
Now, what happened as you start to approach? I mean, when would you? So you go, you'd be flying. I mean, most of Europe by then's being occupied back. I mean, you're flying over Allied territory a lot of the way. What was the trip like?
It always seemed a long time, you know, particularly the night ones. Yeah, and you might.
Yeah, that's a six and a half, three quarter hour flight. Would you be watching for? Was there a risk of German night fighters at that stage in the war?
Oh yes, quite. So I can tell you more. Well, perhaps I should tell you this now. On the Nuremberg raid.
Oh, we'll come back to that then. Okay. Now, on the Mannheim raid, that first one, you didn't see any night fighters.
No.
What happens as you approach a target? Tell me, I know we've done it slightly, but take me through the whole running of approaching the target.
Yes. Right, well, I ask for wind speed and direction, not in this order. The wind speed and direction, aircraft height, and airspeed, which the pilot could give me. Navigator would give me ground speed. I want to know the height of the aircraft again from the pilot. And
so you'd be setting your sight, as we discussed.
Be setting the gyroscope.
What is the
bomb sight was a gyroscopic bomb sight, and the gyroscopic equipment was on my left, where I put in all this information that was fed to me. That's it. Yeah.
So it's a gyroscopic bombsight. Yes. So you're putting all that on. Yes. What happens next then? We're starting the approach.
As we're on the bomb room, I call bomb doors open. And then it's cold for the all that's in the fuselage there, and so we're going along. I can't remember how much flak we're coming up.
What was flak like? I mean, we'll talk about this in a manner. Yeah. I mean, you're not sure whether you go, but what was it like being under anti-aircraft fire?
A bit scary. Very scary, in fact.
What did it look like? If you
not like fireworks, isn't it? A burst, an explosive firework going off. A burst. You hear some of it, I think.
What height would you be flying in there? I mean, 10,000, 12,000?
No.
Higher?
Yes. It could be. Between 25 and 32.
So there's no machine guns or light ACK. This is heavy ACK only coming up there.
Yes.
And did it make you nervous, the flak? Or were you able to concentrate?
It was... when you're over the target, when you're going there, the pilot and the bomb aimer were intent upon that... The nerves didn't come. It might sound foolish, stupid, but you're concentrating. You've got a job to do, and you want to do it.